My title today is Dangerous Ignorance. Dangerous Ignorance. We should all understand that God created everything that is good and righteous. He created humankind with the purpose of living and loving. Yet, to this day, humanity has not understood what God's true intention was in creating the world. God's vision was and is to create a great family in love, in honor, in honesty, in truth, in peace, in health, and so much more. Yet, this plan is nothing new, nor is it merely 6,000 years old, as some believe, but rather it is already several billion years old. According to some records, the world is already about 4.5 billion years old, with a margin of error of plus or minus 10 million. And in his love, God was perfectly clear that ultimately, every human being would be given the opportunity, the eternal life, because God is love. We read in 1 John and chapter 4 and the verses 11 to 17, "Beloved, if God is so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen to testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Let us read John 17 and 24. John 17 and 24 says, "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." God also includes us in his plan as the chosen ones even before the foundation of the world. In Ephesians 1 and the verses 3 to 14, we can read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. And verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and riches, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasures, which he purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possessions to the praise of his glory. So, even before the world was created, we were chosen for this calling. Do we ever look at this great privilege God has given us? Or are we so lost in thoughts without ourselves that we don't even think about it, this gift of grace that God has given us out of his love? Perhaps we ignore it, perhaps we carelessly forgotten, or perhaps we never fully understood it. And then we drift along in our own world, allowing ourselves to be influenced by the dark side of life. Yet it is of tremendous importance to recognize and understand this. And at the end of time, when Christ returns, one might want to escape one's responsibility and claim that it was Satan's fault, that he led one astray. For it is always easier to shift blame onto others. However, the blame does not always rest with Satan, for true love turns away from selfishness and never turns toward it. We can read in James 4, and verses 1 and 3, James 4, verses 1 to 3, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasures that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasure. And that in that case, it wouldn't have anything to do with Satan. Absolutely nothing. But only with his own ego or his desire. When inner struggles and conflicts rage within us, we often seek only our own righteousness and see only the faults of others. He or she must change. He or she must apologize. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm fine. Everything is good with me. He is wrong. That's exactly that's exactly how Job thought in his self-righteousness. But therein lies the great danger, a deep, dangerous form of ignorance. Solomon captures it perfectly in Proverbs 14 and verse 12. He wrote, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." That's what you need always to keep in mind. Don't forget ever. Ecclesiastes 1 and verses 8 to 11. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been, it was will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which is may be said, "See, this is new"? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. Do we remember what our forefathers did? Sometimes we have to think about it. What is right? And do the younger ones, do you let yourselves be taught by your parents' experience? And do you act on it, or is it rather ignored? Personal experience often seems better, but it is not always better. In our booklet, "How Can Young People Cope with Life?" we can read the following in chapter 2 and page 11. Stand up for what is wrong? No. It says, stand up for what is right. When considering with whom to make friends, we should realize that there may be times when we will have to stand up to them in order to keep doing what is right. And on page 13, under understand bad peer pressure, when we engage in bad types of peer pressure, we lose confidence and respect for ourselves, and others can come to lose respect for us as well. God especially will be definitely saddened. You must never ignore this. As adults, we should have left all this behind us long ago. But to think so would also delusional. Stand up for what is right in all areas of life. The problem, however, especially among adults, is that people no longer reflect on themselves or simply no longer want to. People ignore their own actions and no longer want to examine themselves. One becomes resistant, and ignorance is a serious consequence of this. Yet, self-reflection is an essential attribute of being able and allowed to stand under God's rule. Let us read a few warnings from Paul. Romans 12 and verses 9 to 18. Romans 12, begin in verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion or your self-righteousness. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That is what is right, what is good. And the 2 Corinthians in chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. And this is often the big problem. Test yourself. Look on you. Ask yourself, is this right what I do? Do you not Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? That would mean we wouldn't be worthy to enter the kingdom of God. And this is exactly where the big problem lies. Without humility, we are no longer willing to examine ourselves. I may well want to, but I cannot do what is right, or do I simply not want to? Paul said, "For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find." It stays in Romans 7 and verse 18. But let us read Romans 2 and verses 5 to 8. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up yourself for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patience, continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. And James 4 and verse 10 said, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." And in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 20 to 21 said, "He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." So, I have few questions, but what do we make of the hope that God has given us? What do we do with it? Do we ignore our own faults and look only at those of others? Have we become selfish just like Job was? Have we developed false pride? Do we point fingers at others? Perhaps we have even reached a point where we are no longer willing to speak the whole truth. We start covering things up, then fibbing, maybe a little lie here, a little lie there, twisting the facts to protect ourselves and shifting the blame on others. People have always walked in wicked ways with their deceit and scheming. We can read in Genesis 6 and verse 5 to 6, "Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And this is really hard. And what did Christ say to such people so simply refuse to be taught? In Matthew 23 and verse 32 to 33, fill up then the measure of your father's guilt, serpents, brood of vipers. How can you escape the condemnation of hell? That's a good question. That was a warning against moral blindness and hypocrisy. God will never tolerate that such a person enter his kingdom. We are nearing the end, nearing the second coming of Jesus Christ, and it is often hard to believe just how much corruption and reckless competition there is out of there. Eat or be eaten. That's the way in the world. Yet all this is mere vanity and grasping of the wind. Man came into the world naked, and we will leave it naked. And the time will come soon enough when people will hate and betray one another, even unto death. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. This will really be hard. Paul also wants us to remain in the love of Christ and not to falter. Let's look Hebrews 10 and verses 23 to 27. Hebrews 10, we begin with 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation for judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. And the last scripture, Hebrews 12 and verse 1 to 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily answers and snares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Therefore, let us live in humility, truth, and self-reflection, take responsibility for our action and stand for what is good, carried by the love of God. So we can say one for all and all for one, or better, for each other.